This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin, I don't want people to get confused about the Dak Prescott discussions we've had today, okay? Real quick, I just want to discuss this. We have some very interesting topic I got to get to also, but this hasn't been a trash talk day. And I just saw on the 105.3 The Fan Club Tolo page, somebody said, I normally like KNC.
Oh.
But it feels like it's been a Dak trash talk day.
Oh.
I'm trying to be as realistic about it as possible. I'm usually the guy that believes in the dancing unicorns, right? Like, I'm always happy about it. But I'm trying to be very realistic about what the Cowboys and how they should approach this offseason. That's all I'm trying to do this on this day. I love Dak. Kevin loves Dak.
Yep.
Kevin's loved Dak as long as I can remember.
Since he started here, and people are like, well, it's not like you're going to keep the rookie in. I was like, really? If they go 6-0, you're not going to keep him in? That's silly. And then guess what happened? They kept him in, Romo read his poem, and we all moved on with our lives.
Yeah, Kevin, I mean, since Kevin saw Dak, he was like, I love Dak. It was the first time he saw him, he fell in love. I think it was the Rams game when he threw that deep ball. But that's just kind of the thing, man, is I feel like that I want the Cowboys to be realistic about their team. And I would love nothing more than for them to win the Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as the quarterback. All right. I would love for his superpower, Kevin, to be that once you pay me more money, I win more Super Bowls. Like, that would be awesome. That's just not how typically I've seen things work in the NFL.
All right, so what we're going to do right now is yesterday they did realignment for UIL and the high schools here in Texas. And I know we don't normally talk about a ton of high school sports, but I really want to know about y'all's experiences here. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 877-881-1053. There's an article in the Dallas Morning News on Sunday talking about the disparities between the teams going beyond just the size. And what I love this from the 469, all I know is that Highland Park needs to count students 5 extra times than everyone else. And that's always the knock against Highland Park is, like, how big is the biggest classification going to be? 5 students more than how many Highland Park has. And that's always been the thing is, like, they've done whatever they can to stay in the second to next biggest classification. So what really hammered this home with me is there's multiple other states across the United States that have started factoring in socioeconomic issues like Colorado and Washington in addition to just the size. So what they do right now is, like, if you have more than, I can't remember what the cutoff was, but let's say if you have more than like 2,500 students, you go into 6A. If you have, you know, 1,900 to 2,500, you go into 5A, and so on and so forth. And the example that was used by the Dallas Morning News is 6-5A is Division I. Brian Adams, Samuel, Sunset, and Woodrow Wilson were combined 0-32 against the other 4 teams.
Why do you got to call BA out like that?
Well, you're really going to hate this next stat. They got outscored 1,819 to 138 in those 32
what?
Games. Yes. They got outscored by 1,700 points in 32
Holy
games.
Holy crap.
And so people pointed out, what do not everyone who goes to these schools, but think about it. What do Brian Adams, Samuel, Sunset, and Woodrow Wilson all have in common? They are probably not as economically advantaged as people from Highland Park and then Mansfield Legacy and Mansfield Timberview.
Listen, Kevin, I know a lot of our listeners out there are from the area, grew up in the DFW area,
sure,
and probably, you know, grew up and stayed and stick around. There are also a lot of people that are not from the area that may be from other states that are like, what are you kind of discussing? High school football in DFW is a big-time deal, and Kevin's right. There are patches all over, just like the rest of the country, patches all over the DFW area. Some are super rich, some are not. And you're saying that they suggested putting the not-super-rich communities all together and also having the super-rich play against each other?
So it would be like a hybrid of that, right? So, and that's one of the reasons I always thought it was great that they linked Plano, Plano East, Plano West, and Allen all together. Because not only are those 4 of the 5 biggest schools in the state, they're also, like, pretty economically well off. Because even if you're in the east side of Plano, like, you're still doing better than a lot of people across the Metroplex. And so they're saying, don't just look at the size of the school, but also factor in the economics to it. So here's an example of why that makes a difference. So we mentioned Brian Adams, Samuel, Sunset, and Woodrow Wilson.
You don't have to keep mentioning Brian Adams.
Okay,
and Kevin.
I'll move on to another school, a set of schools in just a second. The average roster size in their district is 72 players. This last year, Brian Adams had 59. Samuel had 47. Sunset had 42. And Woodrow Wilson had 36. Think about that. Woodrow Wilson had the team that was half the size of the average team they went against.
When I was in high school, when we played against North Dallas, almost the entire team was playing both ways. That was how big their roster was.
Competitive disadvantage.
Yeah, their entire roster was two-way players, and if a couple guys got hurt, they were missing players, dude. So I totally understand what you're saying there, because you know what? Not everybody's able to field the entire roster or has the community that can even make it.
Okay.
Like, a lot of guys have to go to work after school, dude.
And now you're on to something. So I'll use a couple different examples. Let's use Seagaville, Kimball, and Spruce. Like, Seagaville's in a totally different direction than Kimball and Spruce. Those districts have an average roster of 64. Seagaville had 36 players. Kimball had 30, and Spruce had 29 players. That is less than half the size of the average person from the average district size. From the 469, I went to WT White, and we got spanked by Skyline and Jesuit. Money is a huge factor. Think about the example that you told me, Corey, from when you were in high school and you played baseball, is you guys had to run charity thing after charity thing to raise money for your team. I saw the Plano West baseball team, God bless them, all super nice people to me. They raised $60,000 like that for an indoor hitting facility.
Yeah, that thing was awesome, too.
And how many schools that play baseball here in the Metroplex had an indoor facility just for hitting? This wasn't their baseball facility. This was an add-on that they were like, you know what we could use? Indoor hitting facility.
Like it looks like the Rangers spring training facility,
yes,
for hitting.
And it was done like that. That is definitely an advantage. From the 469, we played both ways in BA 89 to 91. It was brutal. And I'm curious, would you be okay with adopting a system more like this that is not based on strictly the size of your school? Because that's what they do now. And geographical proximity.
This is a real interesting discussion, because here's what the DISD Executive Director of Athletics, Sylvia Salinas, says. I love it. What they got put with, Kevin, she says, our students have a chance now. And I understand that. And from the 817, so now you're promoting socialism. Maybe their parents should get better jobs.
Wow. That is a big jump. I would never promote socialism.
So listen, you know, I'll tell you this. Whenever we played against the Plano schools in the playoffs or the schools that were richer.
Do we crush you or what?
Yeah. Oh. No, and no doubt about it, because we had maybe two or three guys that played BBI, you know, growing up, or played, you know, exceptional baseball. Kevin, you go to Plano and you go to their soccer team, every single one of their soccer players is on some club team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Shippy, you were there.
Yeah, I was
there. You were
there
with Corbin Bone in that group, right?
Yeah, in the year that they won state, I think 2009.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I was part of the traveling traveling drum line that they thought was good luck. Yeah, so I got to skip school and go to Austin.
So
awesome.
And that team right there, I covered that team to the national championship. They were phenomenal. Every one of them played club. And you know what?
Dylan Powers is now in the MLS.
Yes. Do you know how much it costs to play club every year, dude? It's expensive. The coaches for those teams make $300,000 a year.
I remember there was a club soccer swap out where essentially these two coaches switched clubs, and it was all anyone in the soccer world would talk about, even non-club soccer.
I had a teammate that missed practice one day, and the coaches wanted to kick him off the team. I happened to know him personally, and I asked him why he missed practice. And this wasn't like the first time he'd missed practice. And he was like, I hadn't eaten in 3 days. He's like, I hadn't had anything to eat and I couldn't make practice. He said, I'm starving, dude. And so I was too shaky to even get there. And Kevin, that wasn't just one player. There are guys that never play because of something like that. Because of that. So when it comes to the socioeconomic thing, obviously, yes, I'm trying to find a way to flatten it all out so everybody can benefit, not have to suffer like that. And I had to go to the coach and say, hey, here's why. Can we help him some way? And so I get that. I understand that. But now you are really putting that caste system together of the elites continue to get the elite stuff and they get looked at as the best. And you know what's going to happen there too? That's where you start recruiting.
Sure.
You're not going to recruit from one of these crummy schools that doesn't have any money. And that person's never going to have the opportunity to get the scholarship. And so I have a big problem. But even still, we didn't have as many scouts as like Plano East did whenever we were playing baseball.
Or Allen.
Yeah, we didn't have those scouts showing up for us because we had one or two, not 10, 15 players that were elite.
And this is really interesting from the 817. What about those one city schools like DeSoto, Duncanville, Cedar Hill? And that segues into from the 469. Why don't they make Allen another high school? So I covered Allen for a really long time. I have multiple people tell me that they will never allow another high school to open in Allen. And then some people got bent out of shape, and I was like, well, you already did. You have Lovejoy. And they're like, that's not part of Allen. And there was a real weird schism from that because a couple of the quarterbacks at Allen that went on to play Division I football, they would have played at Lovejoy. And so that's why they kind of made sure that they broke those apart. That's where they have a separate building for their freshman center. And that's why their school continues to get bigger and bigger and why they always have one of the top four enrollments in the state because they were like, we are never going to allow another high school to open up to split that off. On the flip side, you know what Frisco does? Frisco continues. Did you know that the reason that Frisco continues to open high schools is largely athletic based? They can sell you all of this, it's academics. No, it's not. I've had multiple conversations with people inside Frisco ISD that there's a reason that they're up to what, like 11 high schools now, is because they want to make sure they open enough high schools to they're never in 6A. They want to keep it so that all, if not most of their high schools stay in the next to biggest classification because that's what they've decided. So think about this. The size of the school, the amount of people who are accounted for going that school, that's already manipulated for purposes of athletics. You don't think that maybe some concessions could be made on the other side? I am not saying for any reason that this decision should strictly be socioeconomic. I just think it should go beyond proximity and size of your school.
I understand
and
that.
Maybe you should consider that.
And somebody said, hey, look, inevitably when the government steps in to make things better, it just gets worse. There doesn't appear to be any such thing as raising yourself up by the bootstraps, working hard and providing a better life for you and your family. Listen, I've seen plenty of guys that I went to school with do better than they did whenever their family was at my school. But they also started behind the eight ball. Like they were already behind whenever they got to high school. And then you know what? I'm going to take this into consideration. Some coaches, Kevin, at high schools that we've covered, only coach the sport.
Yeah.
Some schools have coaches that were asked to coach the team because they were the only teacher that was left that could possibly do it. Like, so you have some school systems that have everything in their budget for all the right things. And is it fair? Man, life's not fair. You're right. I totally get that. But man, that's what we want to get out of that. You get the best out of people. You want to see them all work, but it's never a level playing field for anybody across the entire state here. And that's just the way that it is. So how do you find out a way to make it level by separating them financially? I don't know. But I don't think there's a real solution for it anyway. I really don't.
I wish I knew.
Stop playing Bryan Adams songs.
God, you can feel the power. Look, I wish I knew a solution for it. I was at a district executive committee meeting where they were doing a ruling on if a player was eligible. He was ruled eligible when everybody knew he did not live in the spot that he should have. One of the coaches looked at me, walked out, said, off the record, the floodgates are open now. And then within the next year, they magically transferred a point guard over from Minnesota to come play on their team. Because they were like, if this is how they're going to treat it, then we're going to do whatever we got to do. And they did. Everything I do. They'll do it for you, Corey.
Not me. nobody's doing anything for me.
Let it breathe. Yeah, it's magical.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.